But then it's also talk about a person who steals money from a friend. It's like he's stealing children. And Rabbeinu Zal explained the whole union of a wife and children and money being referring to a tree, and the branches of the tree and the fruit of the tree. Right, and Rabbeinu Zal gave whole examples of items that are to be able to show how it would affect, how it would take effect, how a person could chas v'shalom take a person's children or take his wife. These were the items that Rabbeinu Zal had mentioned. Where we left off was by the words v'zeh b'chinas kiddushin, and the ones we're using the Bible to them are on its page 200. The right-hand side, the second column. Rabbi Nizal says, the paragraph that we had before this, the last paragraph that we had, Rabbi Nizal was talking about the fact that it's possible for a person to take money for a person and yet not do any damage to his wife or children at all. Why? Because sometimes there's an alarm that goes off whereby the nefesh knows that this is about to occur, and it's mitzamtzem itself, and in this way it protects itself from this damage. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh b'chinas kiddushin. This is the whole concept of a person getting married through a process that's called kiddushin. Why? Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki kishein shleimus bedavar yesh shom achizas hasidrach rav haklipos." When an item is incomplete, that means that it has an achiza of tuma attached to it. If you recall the whole concept of shadim that we have today, when we discuss shadim and kiches of tuma, how did that come about? These were items that were incomplete at the time that Shabbos came. Kaviyochel, it was Ben HaShemashos that they were created, and there wasn't enough time, in a sense, to put them into Gufim, these Ruchais. Therefore, these became Ruchais of Tumah. So we see this concept that the Sitra Achra is a concept of incomplete items. Rabbi Nizal says, V'hanefesh b'chinas nukvo hi bein haklipos. The nefesh, which we talked about before in the beginning of the Torah, we spoke about the nefesh as being the lowest level within nefesh, ruach, and neshama, referring to the wife, the nukva, which is always the lower level. Duchra is always higher, nukva is lower. Rabbi Nizal says this nefesh, kihi mispazeres venitches beinehem tamid. The nefesh always gets spread out and pushed away into the klipos, rachman al-tzlam. Bevechina, says the pasuk, says, ragleho yordos moves. The raglayim, which is the nukva, which is the malchus, which is the nefesh, goes down into moves, goes down into the klipos. V'alkein, kishihi royeze hakesef oishove kesef. When the nukva sees this kesef or shove kesef, this money, or something that's value, that's worth money, which is being presented to her, when the nukva sees this item, that a man is approaching her and presenting her with money, or with a ring, Rabbi Nizal says, Shehu b'chinas shleimus ayrokanal, this is the item that would complete her light. Biyad zeho ish, when the woman sees this kesef, or shove kesef, within the hands of the one who's coming to be mekadesh her, in a sense, to complete her, through that, through the fact that she sees this money by him, which is necessary to complete her ayir, through that she yearns for him, she has a kisufin towards him, shehu yashlim oira, so that he should come along and bring, give her a shleimus, give her oira shleimus, v'kabetz nidocheho mibein haklipos, and he should gather together her nitzutzos, which are now spread out among the klipos. This person, the husband who comes along, will gather together those nitzutzos, lohitzi ragleho mimavis, to take her out of this, out of the klipos. Meaning, we say that the nukva is referred to as nitzutzos, which are nivzar among the klipos. You picture sparks of light that fell into the possession of tumah, and they're spread out. And when the duchra comes along offering this money, these nitzutzos have a craving for it, and they're brought together and taken out from tumah. Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh b'chinas kiddushin bekesef. This is the reason why kiddushin is generally done with money. Because of the fact that the oyer of the nukva is nishlam through money, and that accomplishes that there shouldn't be any chisaron in her. Through that, the nukva becomes mekudash, purified from the tumah that she had before. V'yotzo mibein ha'klipois. And she goes out from among the klipois. V'alkein he mekudeshes v'niknes elov al yidei ha'kesef hazeh. This is why we say the term kiddushin, holy. She is made holy and bound to the man. Ki ha'kesef he shleimus oyer ho'isho kanal. Because it's money that determines the shleimus of the oyer of the isha. Rabbeinu is all stressing throughout that the parnosa is totally in the isha. Her whole, the oyer of her nefesh is determined by the kesef. V'zeh loshin kiddushin. Rabbeinu also says this is why the term that's used is kiddushin. Shemiskadeshes umizamenes atzmo lotzeis minatuma. The word lekadesh means to purify, and it also means a concept of preparing for something, to become mezumon. Mekudosh means prepared for marriage, prepared for the sichud. So Rabbeinu Zal says, why the term kiddushin? Shemiskadeshes umizamenes atzmo lotzeis minatuma. It signifies the fact that she's preparing to exit from the tumah that she was in till that point. And to be able to draw Kiddusha through the hands of her husband. How? By his presenting her with this kesef, he'll bring about a shleimus to the oyer of her nefesh, and by doing that, he'll make her holy. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Ubechol hamasa umaton, shehu naisei venaisein, umarviach, with all the business and transactions that a person does and gains profit from, he is actually mashlim the oyer of the nefesh of his wife, and he gathers together her scattered nitzutzos. Ki hu tzorich lahashlim oyro tomid. The man is required to be mashlim the oyer of his wife at all times. This is his responsibility, his obligation. How? By bringing in parnosa. Ki hu bechinas hanokas ho'ilon v'ho'anofim v'ha'peros. This is the concept of providing nourishment for the tree and the branches and the fruit, which we spoke about in the beginning of the Torah. Shal yedei shehu meinikom u'mashlimom. Through the fact that the husband nourishes them and he is mashlim them. Al yedei zeh ho'ilon megader anofim. That's what helps the tree to grow, to sprout branches. Hainu shemisnoitzeitz oira, that shows that the oira of the isha is starting to shine, because when it shines, when it starts putting forth, you see the branches starting to spread out. V'hanofim oisim peois kanal, these branches produce fruit, that's the children. This is the whole concept as to why a husband is required to give his wife a ksuba right after the kiddushin takes place. Right after the kiddushin, he puts the ring on her finger, he says the words harayat mekudeshes. What's the next item that takes place in sequence? The presentation of the ksuba. Why? Rabbi Nizal says, "Umaftiach lo b'ksuba," and he promises her in the ksuba, "Ve'ano eflach ve'oikir ve'oizin ve'afarnes yosach." I will work. Eflach means to work. Ve'oikir, and I will keep you precious. I will respect you. Ve'oizin, and I will be mazin you. I will give you food. Ve'afarnes yosach, and I'll give you all. I'll provide you with all types of parnosa. Why is this done right after the kiddushin? In the act of giving over the ksuba, he is promising her that he accepts this responsibility of constantly being mashlim the oyer of his wife. How? By providing her with parnosa. Money is the item that's mashlim the oyer of the nukva. Go ahead.
You also have the
exclude
the respect, you know, to your wife. The
gift
in the first place.
Right.
So how does that kind of...
Very simple. The fact that, in other words, she's the one, the whole parnosa coming in, what's the purpose of the parnosa? To deal with her. To provide her with shleimus ha'oyer. That's the purpose of the parnosa. Depending on her oyer, that's what determines how much parnosa comes in. In other words, what's the tachlis of parnosa? The tachlis is to be mashlim, the oyer, or the nukvah. Depending on what the status of that nukva is, whether it's good or bad, that's what will determine how much parnasa comes in.
Wait, so him going out and doing this,
right.
You know,
he's mashlim her oil.
Right.
What if he shows disrespect to her? Nothing to do with the going out and working. What if he shows disrespect to her? She becomes pogum. When she becomes pogum, this whole cycle can't go into effect. The oyer, the money coming in to be mushroom her oyer can't be done. Why? Because she's nivgam. How is she nivgam? By his being pagan and her kavoy. A woman is kavoy. There's certain respect that's required between the husband and the wife that he's required to show her. If that becomes pogum, this whole cycle doesn't go into effect.
Well,
that's what.
And then we say the oyer of her nefesh.
We had that in the beginning of the Torah. In the beginning of the Torah, Venice will explain what that means, the first paragraph. If you get a chance to look over that first paragraph, that's where he explains what he's talking about.
Is there any reason why you have to put this kesef on a certain finger?
Yeah. But it's not tied in with the stone. There's a reason as to why he puts it on the finger and why the ring has to be a certain shape, a circle, a square within a circle. There's a whole... There's no Kodesh talks about it. Okay. Rabbi Nizal says, V'zeh d'chinas Yerusha sheshayach labonim. This is the concept of inheritance that's given over to children after a father passes away, Rachman Otsalam. Kikishi HaPeiros Yaitzin, Rabbi Nizal says, when the fruit comes forth, when the children come forth, L'fa'omim Adayon Srichen Lanfeim Linak Mehem. There are times when the fruit still needs the branches to draw from it. How? When the fruit isn't ripe enough yet, it means it still has to draw chias from the branch in order for it to be mashlim itself. What happens if you take off the fruit before it's ripe? You separate it from its source of chias. That fruit isn't roi lachila. You can't eat it when it's not ripe. It could do damage. Why? Rabbi Nizal explains, because when you take it into your body, that fruit is still trying to draw chias. It could chas v'shalom sap the chias from a person himself in order to keep itself alive, in order to be mashlim itself. So now Rabbi Nizal says, these peiros which come forth, there are times when they still have to, when they're still dependent on the branches to draw from them. The alkein tishenifdar, when the person, when the father passes away, ve'enom yecholim linak oid, and these children can't draw anymore, because don't forget, we said that the trunk of the tree is the woman, the branches are the money that comes in, the fruit is the children. But what did we say gives chias to the whole tree? The husband. The husband who brings in the parnosa, his oyer is what's manic this tree to give it its nourishment. Now if you remove the husband, this tree has no source of yinik anymore. Kinifsak hanokas oilon. The drawing of the tree got broken, got chopped off. Alkein he mekablin v'yorshim hamomoin hashayach lahem lahashlim oyron. Therefore, there is this concept of inheritance whereby the money of the father has to be turned over to the children. For what purpose? Lahashlim oiram, again, so that they should be able to ripen. Baruchnius, they need this money in order to be able to ripen. Vihi mikabeles hashar masheroi lo oiram. And the wife receives the rest, the remainder, that is necessary for her oyer. Meaning, generally, the way the Gemara discusses Yerusha, the halachas pertaining to Yerusha, the major portion of the money goes to the children. The bechor gets a double portion. The rest of the children get a certain amount. And from what remains there is what's used to pay up the wife of the ksuba of the wife, number one, plus to give her extra money. Why? Because note, what's the tachlis of a tree? The tachlis of the tree is the fruit, not the branches, not the trunk of the tree. When you plant a tree, you're interested in the fruit. The main item is the fruit, the children. Those are the ones that are given main. The main purpose of getting married is not for a wife, is not the wife. The purpose is to produce children. That's the main purpose. This is why the Yerusha is first turned over to the children, to be mashlim their oyer, and the remainder is given over to the wife. Now Rabbi Nizal explains, V'zeh b'chinas haksuba shenoiteles. This is the concept of the ksuba which a wife collects when her husband chas v'shalom passes away. Ulefa'omim ein tzrichin habonim lekabel oid oyer me'anofim. Rabbi Nizal says there are times when the children no longer need any more light. They don't have to draw any more light from the branches. Why? Their oyer has become nishlam to a degree where they're capable of going out on their own. And still we find that they're getting Yerusha, meaning, let's talk Begashmias. You have a son who gets of age to be married. He gets married, he goes out and gets himself a good job. He's earning $50,000 a year. His father passes away, and his father turns over to him a Yerusha of $20,000. Now, Begashmias, we would say, he doesn't need it at all, in a sense. His oyer, Begashmias, seems to be Nishlam. Beruchnias, we know that the Ruchnias, the Gashmias, is a manifestation of the Ruchnias, which means if he's self-sufficient, Begashmias, in a sense, it would seem to show us that he's not dependent at all on drawing anything from the Yerusha. So why does he get the Yerusha? Rabbi Nizal explains, Zehu mebechina acheres. This is from a different concept completely. Why? Kiksha bonim yoitzim lo ilam. When the children go out into the world, yoitze tekef imohim bas zugam. When a child comes out into the world, when a child is born, automatically, together along with that child, is sent out the bas zuga, the child, the other half of the nefesh, you know, the wife. Umamainam, and the money that's allotted to those children. Ubenehem, and the children that are allotted to those children. If you recall, we quoted the Gemara Nida, where the Gemara says that when a child is born, there's a malach that takes the teapot and brings it before Hashem, and Hashem says this child will be rich or poor, will have such and such a zivid, will produce so many children. So we see that those items are determined at the birth of the child. Rabbein Ezal says, Hainu, ho'ilon, v'hanofim, v'haperos. This means the tree, the branches, and the fruit of the child. The child also has a zivig, a wife, and branches, money that's allocated to him, and peros, and fruit that's allocated to him. V'ho'ov mekabetz oiram. The father, who in this sense, in a sense thus, is a grandfather that we're talking about, the father is mekabetz their oir, he gathers together their oir. Therefore, it's conceivable for a father to have money that belongs to his children, in a sense. He has this, his whole purpose of having this money is for the sake of his children. Why? Because he was mekabetz the chelkei ho'er that belonged to them. Therefore, we find that there are times when they take inheritance, even though they don't no longer have to come on to their mother to draw oir from her to be mashlim the nefesh, still they get Yerusha. Why? Because they have a tree that's attached to them, a bas zug, a zivig, and children that are supposed to come from them, and there's money that's allocated for that purpose. The father, because he's the sheirish, he's the grandfather, he's the originator of this whole tree, he was the one who had the money presented to him first. For what purpose? To be able to pass along to his children, to be able to use towards nourishing their trees and branches and fruits. Rabbein Ezal says, "Avol heim noitlim mamoin shelohem shekibetz avihem al yodom mechelke or shelohem." However, in other words, although they no longer have to come onto their mother to draw oir from her branches, still they take the money that belongs to them, which their father had gathered together through them, through the chelke oir that belonged to them, that belonged to the children. Rabbein Ezal says, "Upeemes, if based on how we're presenting this." That the whole concept of Yerusha is totally in how much oil is needed to be mashlim, each nefesh, the nefesh of each child and his bazug, and that's which is dependent on him, it would seem that it would be ridiculous to give out equal shares of Yerusha to children. Why? Because certainly the chelke oyer that are required to be mashlim, each one's nefesh, are different. No two people are alike. Each one is on a different madrega. This one requires more oyer to be mashlim his nefesh. This one requires less oyer. So how could we ever say to a father to give equal shares of Yerusha to the kids? In a way, although it seems that Begashmias it will eliminate jealousy, but Beruchnias it seems silly. No two are alike. So Bedafka we would seem to tend to say that it has to be unequal shares. Rabbi Nizal says, Avol, you should know, however, Efsher Limser Mishpot Zeh LeBez Nishomato. It's impossible to give over this judgment to the Bez Nishomato. Why? Ki Ein Yodea Chiluk Emelu. Bez Nishomato, Dayonim of this earth, wouldn't know how to dole this out properly at all. Ki Im HaYodea Talumois. Who is the only one who would know this? Kavyechol Hashem, who is called Yodea Talumois. In the Shem Mem Beis, we say Tzakoseinu Yodea Talumois. Hashem himself undertakes this responsibility of rearranging the Yerusha. Kaviyachol Hashem makes it work out through the circumstances that Kaviyachol Hashem is capable of handling around, you know, making things bibbling to make things come out where each one gets how much he was supposed to get, how much was needed to be mashlim the oil of his nefesh. So basically, the halachin, Gemara, and Shulchan Aruch is that a father should try to give equal shares to the children, except the bechor who gets double. Why? Because al pi kabbalah, the father, when he has the first child that comes out of him, receives a double chelek of the ruach which the father places into the mother. That's why, straight off the bat, the bechor can get double. But anybody else, the general halacha is to try to give equal portions to eliminate jealousy. And as far as what each one needs, leave it to Hashem. Hashem will work out that each one will get exactly how much he's supposed to get. Okay, one more. Let's try to do this one more piece. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vada, you should know, that when a person chas v'shalom steals from his friend, this could bring on hirhurim. Why? Ki bevadai hu mizdabek v'nichsaf la'ishes chaveroi shel gozloi." Rabbi Nezal says a person should know that when he steals from his friend chas v'shalom, he is certainly attaching himself and yearning for the wife of his friend whom he robbed. He's attaching himself to that woman, and he's yearning for her. He's building up a chemda. How? Al yedei ha-momoin shenotal mimenu, through the money that he took from his friend, shehu oyer nafsho kanal, which was the oyer of that person's wife. Rabbi Nezal says, v'chein hi meharheres acharov. This causes a reaction whereby, because this person has taken away part of the oyer of her nefesh, this wife, the wife of this man, now is maharher for that person who took the money. Al yidei shemoshach liatzmoi or nafsho, through the fact that he drew to himself the oil of her nefesh. V'al kein omer azal, that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, hayoy reidlo mischavei roi kilu bo'al eishes ish, that a person who chas v'shalom tampers with the parnosa of his friend, he tries to mess up his friend's parnosa, it's as though he had relations with a married woman. Which married woman is it talking about? And the Gemara brings proof, Shenemar, as the Pusuk says, Ve'eshes reyehu leitimei. He wasn't metame, a person who did money transactions, and he wasn't metame, the wife of his friend. So the Gemara says, we see from here that it's possible for a person to do money transactions and to be metame, the wife of his friend. Rabbi Nezal says, Ki hu bo umetame mamish eishes reyehu al yidei agzela kanal. Because this person who steals from his friend, chas v'shalom, he comes along and he's actually metame, the wife of his friend. Ulefa omim, Rabbi Nezal says, at times, yoivad hagazlon bas zug sheloi al yidei agzela. At times it's possible that the one who steals should lose his zivig through the act of stealing. How? Because he has set his eyes upon the money of his friend, meaning he has set his eyes on that person's wife, whether he realizes it or not, that causes him to despise his own. Once he starts looking at something else, he loses interest in his own, and he sort of turns away from his own. What happened? He no longer wants his own chelik that much. Meaning his own money, and his own zivig. Al kain, you know what happens? It's kemare ponim al aponim. If he no longer wants his zivig that much, al kain, he gam poine esatz mamimeno. This Gazlan's wife turns away from him, and she becomes distant from him, just as he made himself distant from her and turned away from her. As the Gemara says in Yerushalmi, that this is the way it generally is when a woman is waiting for a man. As long as she sees that there's still a possibility of him marrying her, she sits and waits for him. As soon as she sees that he took his mind off her completely, so she goes and marries someone else. This is what the Gemara says there regarding something that the Gemara is talking about over there. Al kain, Rabbi Nezal says, therefore, imein lahagazlon isho yuchal la'abed bazug sheloi. If this gazlon isn't married, it's possible for him literally to lose his chance of getting married by stealing. Why? In the act of stealing, he shows that he has turned towards attaching himself to this woman. So what happens is his zivig, which was supposed to be waiting for him, no longer waits for him. It goes and attaches itself to a different man, chas v'shalom. וגם יוכל הגז לא לפעום, אם לגזור מחברוי אפילו הבס זוג של הנגזור. And רחמור לסלנדר, at times, when the thief can steal from the one, from the victim, his wife, can take away from him his wife, והכל לפי תקף וחיזק תהרוסוי וחשקוי, It's all dependent on how powerful is his desire and his yearning and how much he strengthens himself to take over the money in thought and in action, both thought and action. Ad she'efshir, to the point where it's possible she'izgabir v'yikach gam bazug shel chaveiro henigzal. Rachmano etzlan, it's possible for the gazlan to literally take away the zivig of the one who was robbed from. Because of the fact that he worked, strengthened himself, he was gaver, and he stole the money of his friend, which was the oir of the nefesh of his zivig. Al kein lefa'omin nimsheches hi ba'atzmo gam kein achar ha'momin shegozol zeh ha'gazlan ibala. Therefore, at times, she is drawn magnetically to this money, which contains in it the that which would be mashlim her nefesh, she's drawn towards it, so that when the gazlan removes it, she's drawn towards the gazlan. V'alkein lefa'omim ha-gazlan goyzeil gam eishes chaveiroi al-yidei ha-momoin she-gozol mimenu b'yodayim. Rabbi Elazar says, therefore, at times, a thief, chas v'sholom, steals the wife of his friend through money that he physically takes with his hands, oi al-yidei chendo, or through money that he craves. When a person looks at his friend and looks at the kesef or a shave kesef that his friend has, either the money, the bank book, the literal cash, or the cash value, the apartment, the house, the beautiful house, the chandeliers or whatever, he looks at the kesef or shave kesef that his friend has, and he has a chemda for it, he has a desire for it. Rabbi Elazar says, "Gam al yedei ze yuchal gozel." Rabbi Elazar says, "Kida yishino, ki gam al yedei chemdo v'taivo v'hishleikikus sheyesh leilam amen chaveiroi." Through the desire and craving that a person has for his money, for his friend's money, gam al yedei ze yuchal gozel. If that can also actually cause something to be stolen, ki hamachshavo yeshlo. Because the mind is extremely, extremely powerful. As Rabbi Elazar says in another term of the Ketuvah, that a person with their mind can stop a bullet, can stop a gun from shooting. Rabbi Elazar says, which means, Rabbi Elazar says, it's possible for a person to have stolen money in his possession, although he didn't physically go out and steal anything. What happens is, because of the chenda, it places an aura of stolenness on that person's money itself. Not money that he stole. He had $1,000 in the bank. And then he looked at somebody else who had more, and he had a taiva for that. What happens is, he can be play game, his own $1,000, make that momoin gozel. Although he didn't steal anything with his hands. Rabbi Elazar says, "V'zeh ho isur holav hachomor sheba aseres hadibrois." This is the isur of one of the severest of the aseres hadibrois, which is loisachmoi, that a person is not permitted to crave, to have a craving for a wrong item. You talk about people; they say, eating treif, this, that. It's not that big a deal. Murder, committing murder, that they can see is a severe crime. It's, you know, you're hurting your fellow man. But eating meat and milk, what? Who are you hurting at all? Or let's say, craving that which is forbidden. What am I hurting? Rabbi Elazar says here that this is a lav hachomor. Why? Ki hachemdo bi'atzmo hu isur chomor ma'oid, rachmon alatzlan. The act of craving something that doesn't belong to a person is a tremendously severe isur. Ki yesh koyach b'hachemdo ligzel mimenu mamoinoi. Rabbi Elazar says that this is a magnetic kind of force. A person could crave something enough whereby he could draw it to himself, although al pidin it doesn't belong to him at all. And he could chas v'shalom steal a person's money, v'nefesh bono v'b'naisav chanal. He could chas v'shalom steal children away from another person. V'alkein yesh isur afilu machshovo l'shleach yod b'pikodon. Therefore we find in the Gemara that it's osur for a person even to think of using his friend's pikodon. If a person gives something to a friend to watch for him, a certain amount of money or a certain item to watch for him for a period of time, the Gemara says that it's also even to think of using it. Where do we see this? The Gemara says, that a person who thought to use the pikadon of his friend, there's a whole machlekes over there whether he's chayev to pay or not. So Rabbi Nezal says, ki haplukto rak im chayev al ze kemo yashleach yad mamish. The machlekes tanoim is only in whether the guy actually has to pay as though he had actually used the item, destroyed the item. Avol isur yesh bevadai lekuli almo. Both tanoim who argue over there certainly admit that it's a forbidden item to think of using an item that doesn't belong to you. The machlekes is only whether it causes monetary payment, whether it would cause you to have to pay for that item. But certainly everybody admits that this act of chenda, craving something that's not yours, is a that item for yourself. That item which somebody else has, you desire it for yourself.
That particular item, that itself, or some, or that some kind of thing for yourself?
I would say probably either one. Either one. In other words, it's a chenda for gashmias. And Rabbi is all saying here that that's gereva chas v'shalom. If it's a type of chemda that comes through a type of jealousy, where a person sees somebody else has this item, and that's what triggers off in the mind, and where do you find this most, rachmona litzlan? I'm saying, from what I understand, by women, this is much, much worse. Women have a nature where you see a girl who's living 50 years, a woman who's living 50 years, no thought of a certain item, somebody else goes out and gets an item, and suddenly it becomes pikuach nefesh. I must have this item. That's Rabbeinu's talking here about chemda. In other words, here you see a case where it physically sparked off a super powerful reaction. It's not that I wanted the item. Proof is it didn't bother me at all. The second I saw that he had it or she had it, that's what triggered off the reaction. That's gezeira. That shows that it's an illegal type of chemda. If a person always wants a nice house, let's say, blah, 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 and he sees different nice houses, so he says, I would want to have a nice house, that probably would not be that illegal. But in other words, you would say, well, that's how people are normal, baloney. If you'll study people, you'll see that you could make a movie out of this, sort of, which would be clear as day. In other words, this isn't a cloudy item. You could see which person is this way, and which person is chas v'shalom has that type of nature where this person has it, I must have that item, that kind of thing. And that, Rabbi Nezal saying in this tale, is very, very illegal. Rachman al-Tzlan, people do it by the goyim, you find it with wives. They see that this one's wife is nicer than theirs. Right away, they become crazy. They see that this one has a nicer car. Right away, you'll see that the next day, this person isn't embarrassed. In a sense, you would say it's embarrassed. Aren't you afraid that people are going to think that the reason why you got it is because he had it? And yet you find by then it's a common expression like the Joneses. You know, the Joneses. And that's what Rabbi Nezal is presenting here is Isur Chomor. Don't think that this isn't murder. This is murder. Chas v'shalom, you could crave his car and end up taking away his wife and his children. Chas v'shalom. As is brought in the story that's related to this story, if you recall, we once mentioned it on a Shir night. One of the Parpores L'Chachma brings in the back that he was told by Rabbi Nezal that at the time that Rabbi Nezal told this story, one of Rabbi Nezal's Talmidim came to Rabbi Nezal and complained that he doesn't have any children. He was begging Rabbi Nezal to help him. And Rabbi Nezal told him at the time that I spoke about this recently. Rabbi Nezal said to this Talmud, I discussed your case recently. And this Talmud didn't know at all what Rabbi Nezal meant. So it's brought that he asked some of the other Talmidim. Rabbi Nezal had told some of the other Talmidim in more detail what the story was. He spoke to them, he got the whole story. What was the whole story? Rabbi Nezal had told them that what happened was this guy, who didn't have children, was very wealthy, but he had only become wealthy recently. What happened was he was very poor. He had a friend who was originally very rich. Reuven was originally very, very rich. And he lost his Eishir, he became poor. Shimon, while he was going down, he was going up. Shimon was becoming rich. Reuven had a tremendous kinah for his wealth. And also, Reuven was borrowing a lot of money from Shimon, which had been returned. And Rabbi Nezal explained that the chenda that this one had for this one's money, he literally took away his children. He made him powerless in having children. Chas v'shalom, chasuch ebon, number one. And number two, he took away his wife. What's Pshat took away his wife? Rabbi Nezal told his Talmidim that this guy, his wife, Rabbi Nezal advised after a certain point in time, he should divorce his wife. Usually we have halacha in Shulchan Aruch that if a person is married 10 years, no children, he's permitted to divorce his wife. Rabbi Nezal suggested that this guy should divorce his wife. What happened was this Talmud divorced his wife. As soon as he divorced his wife and he remarried. And from his second wife, he had children. When he divorced his wife, what happened was this Reuven took his divorced wife and got married. And Abinazal said that as soon as this one got married, that's what turned on a green light for this guy to have children with his second wife. He literally was powerless from having... Now, picture Chas v'Shalom, what happens in the Bez Nishalmatla, when somebody comes and says, you took away my power to have children, Chas v'Shalom. Picture that kind of claim. Having children is one of the biggest mitzvahs in the Torah, number one. And number two, it's a question that could be the ticket of a whole person. Person has children, the children are from, they do mitzvahs, that could correct that person's sins, you know, from everything. Imagine if a person could chas v'shalom come and say, you're the one who took it from me, it's the biggest robbery conceivable. That's what Rabbi Nizal is presenting in this letter. Watch out, the chemda. In other words, don't think, I didn't do anything, I didn't take, I thought, what's so bad? There are times when kosher hiruri ve'averi yisim ye'averi. Here Rabbi Nizal says that the hirur is very dangerous. And he says that through stealing, you can bring yourself to hirurim run in ni'uf, that these two are very much tied together. It's interesting that this Torah would shed light on the question that Rabbi Zal once asked in a shir, you know, one of the shir that we have on tape, when Rabbi Zal was discussing the mindset about tefillah. And Rabbi Zal mentioned that one of the questions that Rabbi Moshe Zal asks in the Kodei Halacha is, in the story about tefillah, it presents different groups that there were at that time. That's so much more interesting.
Yeah, I think this bug's going on.
It presents different groups that there were at that time. Different groups of people. This one had this bed, this one had this bed. And Rabbi Nizal says that the worst one of all of them was the ones who had time to small money, where each one in their kingdom had money. So Rabbi Nizal asks a simple question, he says, we know that Rabbi Nizal always taught us, as is found in all his Sfarim, that the worst time of all is time of small money. Why here does he label the cut, which was the first, the ones with time of small money? And Rabbi Nizal explains in Likutei Halacha that these two are always tied together. That whenever a person yearns for money, generally it's to impress women. And that's the purpose. Why? Because money is the wife. Money is the woman. Mitzofa and tiposachalo. In other words, both come from the left. Both come from the same place. But Rabbi Nizal explains that these two go together. In this story, you see what Rabbi Nizal is presenting it clearly to show how these two are actually one. When we say Tavis Mamun and Tavis Tef, it's the same treif item. Both are connected. Generally, when a person craves money, it's a sign that he's craving the wife. Or when he's craving, both are going together. When a person craves that person's wife, it means he's craving his money. Because how does this person get his money? Through the wife. The whole parnasa comes through the wife. That's what he's stressing here, watch out for it. It's such... Note, you don't find this lashon in the Kodesh Aron at all. He doesn't use these words, Yisur, Chamor, and Ma'ayid. He uses it for this.
So then I'll say, how do we misak this? Because with the physical thing, you get it back. That's coming up.
That's coming up. That's the beauty of this Sefer, where this Sefer is different from most other Sforim. This Sefer presents all the problems and all the solutions. There isn't the problem that's presented here without a solution. That's what we're going to have coming up.
What happens if the wife is the one who has this
coming?
How does this whole thing work then?
That problem is all but it's obvious that he's telling you here that it's a very osu item. That chemda for someone's money could chas v'shalom cause hookups. Yeah. The wrong kinds of hookups, chas v'shalom. He shows you that this, you know, that these two are playing together, which explains perfectly what Rav Nizal is explaining here about Tavis Mamon and Tavis Niyaf. Here in this Torah, Rav Nizal lays it out, shows you the crossroads where they both meet.
Yeah, that in a way is, you don't care if the guy has it yourself, you just want this too.
Yes.
It's not a matter of eye and horror type of thing.
Yeah, but it's a kind, in other words, it's all connected. There are people that their reaction when they see somebody else have something is, they don't find in there. They have a bad feeling. That's called ayin hara, which causes certain sets of damages. There's people who have a different nature. They see it, the first thought, now I got to save up, I got to get that item. Or now I got to go out and shop and get that item. That Rabbi Nizal is labeling here as tuma. You should know that if a person has that, he has to cry to Hashem, take this tuma with me. And that's the whole purpose of this sefer, to teach a person the midos tayrois. Rabbi Nizal smashes, gayus, everything. He goes through all the different midos rois, and he shows you what, in other words, what you think is a small item, I'll show you what it does. People, who would ever dream that this is what's involved in it? You ask any person, which would you rather do, murder, take this person's child, chas v'shalom, and kill it, chas v'shalom, or take his $100 from him? person would say, what are you, sick, perverted, you're comparing the two? Mm-hmm. So Rabbeinu's honest there, says it's the same thing. You could chas v'shalom by taking money or by having a chemda for money, you could chas v'shalom harm that person.
So what did Brother Chaim say, that a thief, that if he thinks about stealing something, it's not really a thief unless he actually takes it? What he was comparing with the Talmud Chacham, and somebody's not really a Talmud Chacham.
Hold on a second, that was a vertical. He was saying that, in other words, when people say generally, oh, he's a big Talmud Chacham, he knows how to learn it, I can learn it. So he says that generally, when the Velt said, if a person were to study the art of thievery, he were to study how to pick locks, we're not talking that he would look at somebody else's stuff and want it. So he would go to school and learn the whole art of thievery, how to trick people, this, that whole thing. Is he called a thief? No. He doesn't graduate and get titled thief. Thief means one who steals. Talmud Chacham doesn't mean one who knows how to learn. Means one who learns. That's the definition of Chacham. That's all he was saying. Nothing to do with what he said.